ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्नतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. So this Divinity and Divine Service, Chapter 2 of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is one of the most quoted chapters by Srila Prabhupada. And this chapter gives the fundamental principles of bhakti. And it concludes very specifically by declaring what is the ultimate goal of everything. The sages at Naimisharanya have assembled to ask what it is that is the essence of scriptures, what it is that is the ultimate goal of life. They have asked a series of 6 questions. And those questions will be answered, are answered either specifically, briefly, and they will be answered elaborately later. But here, the conclusion is given in a rhetorically powerful way. So there are various aspects to religious and spiritual growth that are talked about in the Vedic context. And these can be at one level seen as specific, another level they can be seen as universal. So today I'll speak on the topic of, can Krishna consciousness be universal when it is so specific? So you worship one particular God, you have one particular mantra, you have one particular process. So how are you universal? So can universality and specificity go together? That's what we will discuss today. Now, let's look briefly at what are the list of activities that are talked about, which are said the goal for them is Vasudeva. Vasudeva Paraveda. The word Veda refers to the Vedic texts, which are the sacred texts considered as scriptures in the Indian tradition. Now, Veda also has a more universal meaning. Srila Prabhupada sometimes uses Veda to refer to knowledge or sources of knowledge. So, Vasudeva para Veda means, among all objects to be known, it is Vasudeva who is supremely to be known. In 15.15, the Bhagavata Krishna says, Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedya. So, what I am doing over here is, I am taking the same word, explaining it specifically as it is understood in the Vedic context, and also generically as it can be understood in a more universal context. So we all have different objects which we can know, and the ultimate knowable object is Vasudeva. The word Vasudeva itself can be seen specifically and universally. Vasudeva specifically refers to the son of Vasudeva. Vasudeva was the father of Krishna and his son is Vasudeva. So that refers specifically to one particular person. Generically, the word Vasudeva refers to all pervading. That which exists everywhere. So Vasudeva refers to all pervading. So the idea is a person with the name Vasudeva, he has great power, as if all pervading. So the words can be seen specifically and generically or universally. Now, Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramakha. Makha is sacrifices. Now, specifically, sacrifices can refer to the fire sacrifices that were performed in the Vedic context, where people lit a sacred fire, put ghee and other offerings into it. And these were considered means by which people could worship the Absolute. Now, this may seem to be like a very sectarian activity just done by some people in the past. When the devotees first time did fire sacrifice in America, it was a sensation because nobody had done. Chanting was fine, but doing a fire sacrifice. And what happened was, the neighborhood people called the fire and fire police. They thought, what is the smoke coming out of this house? So, it can seem very alien to us. But if we go beyond the specific to what is the principle? The principle is, Krishna talks in the Bhagavad Gita that Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantuva parasparam bhavayantah shreya paramavapsitha. In 3.12 in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that when we offer to the gods worship and the paraphernalia through which we offer worship, then they give us what we need. And in this way, there is mutual cooperation and prosperity. So the principle is, when we offer in a sacred sacrifice some valuable items, it may be ghee, it may be grains, it may be silk, there are other items you offered, it may at our level seem to be just going waste, just burned to ashes. But fire is considered to be a means by which the human, the terrestrial and the celestial realms are mediated. Devanam paramo vishmo avamo agni tadanta sarva devata. The Rigveda says that among the devatas, the highest is Vishnu and the nearest is Agni. And in between are the other devatas. So Agni becomes the medium, fire becomes the medium by which the sacrifice we are giving is passed on to the devatas. So to understand how this happens, we need to look beyond the specifics to the principle. See, every relationship is based on some exchange. If a person who doesn't know anything about digital economy, a tribal comes to a city and we go to a bank where we deposit, and you have a big pile of money, just give it to the bank, and all that we get is something is written in our passbook. So you lost the money. You had so much money, it just went away. It's not gone away, it's there. Yeah. So if somebody is not educated about the digital economy, they will just see you lost, and what did you get in return? So like that, similarly, if we are not aware of how Agni acts as a medium of exchange. See, I put into the fire, it just got burnt. What was achieved by it? But no, Agni is a means by which what we could use for our pleasure, we offer for a higher purpose. So rather than looking at the specifics, we can look at the universal. The universal principle of sacrifice is there in all traditions. The sacrifice means we give up something which is for our pleasure for some higher purpose, for some higher cause. A mother who has a child, she wakes up in the middle of the night if the child is crying to comfort her. Why? Because it's sacrifice. It gives us the pleasure of sleeping for the purpose of comforting the child. So sacrifice is in human relationships as well as in other aspects of life. Even other religious traditions also, the fire sacrifice may not be there, but the principle of sacrifice is universal. Vasudeva Paramaka, that was. And Vasudeva Parayogo, Paramyogo, Parayogo. Yoga, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, is the means for connection with higher spiritual reality. That yoga may have specific limbs, such as sitting in particular asanas, regulating one's breath, and the purpose is connecting with something higher. Now, different traditions may have different means for establishing this connection. So yoga is broadly a little bit is more of a contemplative way of connection. Worship is a more active way of connection. We go to a temple, we go to a church, we do certain activities of worship. Yoga is relatively more contemplative. If we look in the Western tradition, the Christian tradition, there were mystics, you know, who would retreat into solitude, and they would meditate in solitude to try to get some higher understanding. The principle that we need to connect with some higher reality, that is universal in all spiritual traditions. So Saint Augustine said that we are made for God, and our hearts find no peace, our hearts find no rest till they rest in Him. So our hearts find no rest. Now this is the principle of connection. So we are all trying to connect with different objects. Now some of us want to connect with a new car, some of us want to connect with a new phone, some of us want to connect with a new partner. Now these are all connections we are establishing. Para yoga. The supreme connection that we should establish is with Vasudeva. Because He is the eternal object of love. So only by connecting with Him will we find enduring satisfaction. So specific early in these traditions, the methods of how connection we establish may vary. But the purpose is universal. Similarly, Vasudeva Paraha Kriya. Kriya is, as Srila Prabhupada translates, fruitive activities. That we do various kinds of activities so that we will, forms of worship, by will get some results. Now, sometimes people may fast, they want a particular, they want somebody's health to improve, they may do some austerity, they may fast, they may offer some donation, some charity, whatever different activities we do. So now all these kriyas have particular goals. In the Vedic tradition, there was something called a putra kameshti yajna. That is, somebody doesn't have a child, they want to get a child and they do a sacrifice for that. So there is a particular purpose for doing this. Each sacrifice, each religious activity, makha refers specifically to sacrifice, kriya refers to any other ritual that may be performed for a particular purpose. So when these rituals are performed, they have specific purposes. But the universal purpose of all of them is ultimately to know Vasudeva, is to attain Vasudeva. So this is again universal. In various religions, people may do particular practices for getting particular results. But it's understood that ultimate goal is to love God. When Jesus was also asked, what is the ultimate commandment? He said that, to love God with all thy heart and all thy soul. So that principle that God is the supreme object of whatever we do, that is there universally. If you go further, Vasudeva Param Jnanam. So Param Jnana means that among all the, whatever is the knowledge that we acquire, the supreme thing to know, that is Vasudeva. There's a conversation of Srila Prabhupada where he is talking with Professor Benford. And Prabhupada says, so what is the current scientific knowledge about the soul? And Professor Benford, he says, currently we have no scientific knowledge about the soul. And Prabhupada, he replied, then therefore you have no knowledge. He says, no, Swamiji. He says, scientific knowledge is a different category of knowledge. He says, for example, now we know how, for they were walking in a garden, walking in a park. So he says, now we know how this grass grows. There are two big volumes of books about how this grass grows. So Prabhupada replied, even without your volumes, the grass was growing. He says, no. He says, if God did not want us to study this grass, why did he put the grass there? So Prabhupada says, my point is, you study the grass and forget the God who put the grass there. So the point is not that we don't study the sources of, study the objects in this world. But what is the objective? Suppose somebody is in a jail. Now, inside the jail, you can study about, okay, what is the wall made of? What is the floor made of? What are the bars made of? What is the lock made of? But what is the purpose? It's to get out of the jail. Isn't it? You don't want to just stay, study that for the sake of study. So like that, we can study any field. You know, now somebody can decide to do a PhD in the design of mic stands. You know, okay, what should be their weight? What should be their color? What should be their composition? You can do. But it's fine. But what is the ultimate purpose? Now, one of my friends, he has done is, he came to America and he did his PhD in digestive systems of Alaskan mosquitoes. Fine. Okay, you can study anything that we want. But then, you know, if we spend so many years studying the digestive system of Alaskan mosquitoes, you know, we may remember that at the time of death. And then we may become a germ inside Alaskan mosquito's digestive system in our next life. So we become a germ therein. What we think about constantly, we'll remember that. So therefore, the point is not to not study, but what is the purpose of studying? Otherwise, we can get so caught in specifics. I just keep studying this, and just go deeper and deeper into one field. So we have specialization, we have super specialization, and then we have super specialization. One time I had severe tuberculosis. So I had tuberculosis in my stomach. There was something suspected in the chest also, in the lungs area. No, it was primarily in the lungs. And they suspected it had gone to the digestive system also. So I went to a specialist. And then he looked at the reports and everything. And he said, yes, you have got some infection below, which is in your in your digestive system, which is a problematic, and we'll treat it. And I asked him, but what about the major infection, which is there in the lungs? He says, you know, my study is below the diaphragm. My study is only below the diaphragm. For that, you have to go to some other doctor. Yeah. Now, at one level, this is fine, the specialization. But sometimes, you know, if you just get too caught in one thing. Now, if somebody, if my digestive, there's an infection in my, below the diaphragm, and that doctor tries to do some surgery to heal that. But in that process, the doctor cuts the lungs or cuts the heart. And then we have what? Operation successful, patient dead. Isn't it? So we may have so much knowledge about one subject, but then if you don't have knowledge about the overall purpose of life, then it becomes like operation successful, patient dead. People may have enormous amounts of knowledge of things, but they don't have any understanding of life's ultimate purpose. And thus, they get frustrated. That if we don't see knowledge in connection with the ultimate purpose of knowledge, so then the knowledge that we acquire, even if it is very interesting, ultimately it doesn't bring satisfaction to the heart. When I was studying in college, my dream was to become a space research scientist. I wanted to become an astrophysicist. So in Pune, where I was studying, India's prominent space research center. It is called IUCA. ISRO is one, IUCA is another. So I went there to meet a scientist. Now this scientist, he was from my college. It passed around 10, 15 years ago. And he had a double PhD from America. And he was doing postdoctoral research over there. And then I had a very, you could say, almost a romantic conception of knowledge. In the sense that, you know, when we explore the mysteries of space, it will be so exciting. So much discovery we'll make. And there's so much excitement and so much thrill in that. And then I went to talk with him. He was very intelligent. I was interested in black holes at that time. So I talked with him and he happened to be doing research in black holes only. So I was very fascinated by what he was uncovering. But I found peculiarly that we were talking, he was on his computer explaining on this, what this means, what this means. And throughout it all, he was continuously smoking. He was smoking. He just couldn't stop smoking. And then I had gone to his house to talk with him. So his wife was also there. And his wife was also a PhD. She was a PhD in mathematics. And then at that time, she noticed that. And I was repeatedly looking at his, I was trying to be polite and not look, but I was a little taken aback. So I was looking, he was continuously smoking. Then his wife just facetiously laughed. You know, I told him so many times, don't smoke so much. But he just keeps smoking. So then, her tone was a little facetious, so I was a little surprised. And I looked at her, and she took out a cigarette and she also started smoking. Oh. This was the first time I had seen a female smoking in real life. Seen in movies, but not in the real life. So I was taken aback. I said that if space research is such an exciting field of knowledge, you know, why you know, why does someone want to smoke? So the point is that if we may have intelligence, we may pursue knowledge, but if that knowledge is not pursued in a broader context, if there is no ultimate purpose, then that knowledge doesn't bring fulfillment. And then we seek fulfillment elsewhere, we seek excitement elsewhere, and we seek titillation elsewhere, and we may end up smoking. Now we may say smoking is not amazing. Smoking is not a major vice. If somebody is a great scientist, they are a great scientist. That's fine. But the point is, yes, if somebody has done important work in science, that's appreciable. But the point is it bringing fulfillment to a person? So it's not bringing fulfillment. So Vasudeva Param Jnanam. The ultimate knowledge, whatever we study, it's only when we connect it with Vasudeva, then there is satisfaction. If we don't connect with Vasudeva, then it doesn't bring satisfaction. So this is will be illustrated later in the Bhagavatam itself, when Vyasadeva composes, he puts down all the Vedic literature. It's a monumental amount of intellectual work that he does, and still he is dissatisfied. It's only when he glorifies the Supreme Lord by speaking the Bhagavatam that he gets satisfaction. Vasudeva Param Tapaha that Vasudev is the supreme austerity. The principle of austerity is also universal. Some kind of fasting, some kind of penance. Say people go on pilgrimages to distant places. They walk long distances. Different traditions have some idea of physical abnegation. We deny ourselves our bodily needs. The purpose is not here self-torture. The purpose is self-transcendence. Now, the point is not just to torture ourselves by denying bodily needs. The point is to raise the consciousness upwards to something higher. So when we are fasting, our focus is on why am I fasting? And that way we grow spiritually. So Vasudeva Param Tapaha. Then Vasudeva Paro Dharmo. So one of the dharma is the various religious practices might be there. What is the purpose of all these religious practices? It is to attain Vasudeva. So the word para is often contrasted with the word apara. Para means spiritual or transcendental. Apara means material or mundane. Srila Prabhupada, many of the lectures that he gave in America, they focus on how you are not the body or the soul and how we should practice Krishna Bhakti. Now many of his lectures which he gave in India, in Hindi, a common theme over there is that he focuses on the difference between paradharma and aparadharma. In America, he was speaking to godless people, unspiritual people, and is focused on the fundamentals of spirituality. In India, he was speaking primarily to religious people. But these people were religious, but they were, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, they were pious materialists. They were not spiritualists. So he focused on aparadharma means mundane religiosity. And, you know, I worship God and God takes care of my life in this world. So the point is not to go towards God. The point is not to develop love for God. The point is to have a comfortable life here. A religious and comfortable life over here. So Prabhupada repeatedly was speaking, this is not the purpose of life. That's higher purpose. We have to devote ourselves to God. We have to attain God. So when we practice the religion, but religion may be for worldly purposes. But here it's called Vasudeva Paro Dharmo. Religion is not for living a comfortable, pious life here. Religion is for attaining God. And Vasudeva Paragatihi. In case any other process is left, then he says, whatever we may be doing, the goal is Vasudeva Paragatihi, the ultimate goal. Now, immediately we may have specific goals. Say for example, now we are having this class. We may have an immediate goal. I want to say explain a particular concept. You want to understand a particular book or a particular passage. So for all the activities that we may do, we may have an immediate purpose. So now after the class, we'll have prasad. So there's an immediate purpose. We want to relieve our hunger. That's fine. So the immediate purpose and the ultimate purpose, they don't have to be contradictory. They can go in parallel. That means that if I am going to eat food, I will eat food, that's hunger. But if I eat food that is offered to Krishna, then the immediate purpose of hunger is also served, of mitigating the hunger is served. And the ultimate purpose of moving closer to Krishna through our consciousness, through honoring the prasad which has been offered, the bhoga that has been offered to Krishna, the food that is offered to Krishna, that is also served. So here, throughout, we will see the describer para. That all these activities may have specific purposes. When we go to school or go to university, we study. We cannot say, oh, why am I studying here? I'm studying here. Vasudeva is my goal. So we have studied a particular field. We have to study those subjects. But our purpose is Vasudeva. Our purpose is to connect with the Supreme Lord. When we have this understanding, then we won't get caught in the specific forms. We will focus on the essential purpose. So, for example, if in a considered traditional setting, there may be two gurus who are teaching their disciples mathematics. And one is sitting under a mango tree, another is sitting under an apple tree. And to teach maths, one guru may take up, 3 mangoes over here, 5 mangoes here. How much are they?
Okay.
8 mangoes. So 3 plus 5 is 8. Another guru may take up 4 apples and 3 apples. I say, how much is it? 4 plus 3 is 7. So the point is to teach mathematics. The tool used for teaching may be apples or mangoes or something else entirely. The tool is not important. What is taught through that tool is important. So similarly, for raising human consciousness to the spiritual level, from the material level, in different traditions, there can be different means. So the specific forms of sacrifice, of austerity, of dharma, of yoga, they can vary in different traditions. But their purpose is one. So if you focus on the purpose, that of raising human consciousness, then we will see the commonality. If you look at the process, then we'll say there's so much difference. You're doing like this, you're doing like this. Now the processes can not only be different, the processes can even be opposite at times. Say consider traffic rules. Now whenever I come from India to America, or if somebody else is driving me, I always go toward the driver's seat. Because in India, the driver's seat is actually the passenger's seat. So, go towards the right or go towards the left. That's, now, if you see in America, we drive towards the right. In India, we drive on the left. Now, the rules are not just different, they are opposite. But the purpose is the same. The purpose is what? To regulate traffic so that people can move smoothly. So similarly, the specific practices, the specific processes may vary. If you focus on the purpose, then we will see the commonality. This brings to one more point, that when we talk about purpose, not everyone knows the purpose or pursues the purpose also. So sometimes people practice a religion not for the purpose of knowing God or going closer to God. They practice it for their own purposes. So once people from three different religions went to their God and they worshiped God and they prayed to God. So really, all these three religions were fighting. So the follower of religion A said, "Oh God, please destroy the followers of religion B." The follower of religion B went and said, "Oh God, please destroy the followers of religion A." The follower of religion C went, "Oh God, I don't want anything for myself. Please fulfill the prayers of the followers of religions A and B." So, actually, here, if we are asking God to destroy someone just because their faith appears to be different from ours, then we are having a very sectarian conception of God. We are thinking this is my God and they are not included in the fold of the mercy of God. So we may be practicing religion, but if we have forgotten the purpose of religion, we may not only forget it, we may defeat the purpose of religion. A police person may have a gun and a terrorist may have a gun. The gun is the same, but the purposes can be entirely opposite. A police person may use a gun for protecting and a terrorist may use the gun for killing. So here, now earlier I said that there can be different processes, but they all have the same purpose. The purpose, when we are talking about purpose, that is the original or the intended purpose. But when purpose is not intrinsically fixed in activity, that means I may worship, I may do a religion, I may go to a temple and pray, but I am praying for the destruction of someone. Now purpose of praying is not destroying someone, the purpose of praying is to go closer to God. So like that, if I consider the process, if I consider a gun and compare it with a particular religious ritual. So we have examples in the Vedic context of demons who performed great austerities, but their purpose was, of performing the austerities was, that is, you know, destroy this person. Whoever I touch, I should be able to destroy. So they are doing religious activities, but they are not doing it for the purpose of going closer to God. They may be doing it for the purpose which is opposed to the purpose of God. So when we say there is commonality, the commonality is in the original intended purpose. It may not be in the present purpose. Terrorists may talk about God and transcendentalists may talk about God. But the God of the terrorists and the God of the transcendentalists may not be one. What do I mean by this? Isn't God one? Yes, God is one. But God as conceived by the terrorists may just be a projection of their own ego. He's not a real God who is revealed in scriptures. You know, basically, some people think of God, that God is simply a projection of their ego. And God hates those whom they hate. It's as simple as that. You say, no. For example, you know, these people of this religion, they hate people of all other religion because in their religion it is said that all these people are infidels. But you will see that they don't just hate people of other religions, they hate people of their own religion if their belief slightly differs from their own. So, the point here is that religion and God can become simply projections of one's own ego. And when that happens, then what one is worshipping is not actually God. It's just simply one's own ego. So here I'll conclude with one last point about how the conception of Vasudev, is it sectarian or is it universal? You may say that, you have one particular form of God. And you worship God as a person playing a flute with bluish black complexion. No, this is not revealed in the other religions. So how can you say that this is a universal conception of God? This is a sectarian conception. You have come up with this. So, to address this, there are different ways. Prabhupada would address it. He says, we have the depiction of God and we have the definition of God. So, when people find the depiction objectionable, they feel sectarian. Go back to the definition. The definition is, Prabhupada would say that God is a person who is all-powerful, all-wealthy, all-strong, all-knowing. What are the other three opulences? All-beautiful, all-renounced, all-famous. So, now will any theistic tradition say that our God is not powerful, he's powerless. Our God is dumb. Nobody is going to say that. So, if we look at the attributes of God, we look at the definition of God, we start with that, then we will see the definition essentially is the same. In the Bible it is said, I am the Alpha and the Omega of all things. Krishna says, Aksharanam Akarosmi. Among letters, I am the first letter. Bhutanam Adirantascha Madhyam Jaivaham Arjuna. I am the beginning, the middle and the end of all things. So if we look at the definitional attributes of God, we will find that they are universal. And from what Prabhupada would say is, that okay, this is the definition of God. And here we have a person who fits this definition. We have a person, Krishna, who is all beautiful, who is all powerful, all strong, all wealthy. Now, if you have a better conception of God, we'll accept that. But they don't have a better conception. So, the point here is, if people get put off by the depiction, we come back to the definition. And the definition is universal. Now, from the definition to the revelation, or from the definition to the depiction, requires either revelation, where it comes down from above, it's revealed in scriptures, or it requires realization, where we progress spiritually and we realize. So, most people, they will agree with the definition of God as is described in the Vedic texts, because that is universal. But when it comes to depiction, they may say, no, this God can be depicted this way, or God should not be depicted at all. So let's not focus on the depiction in the initial stages. Focus on the definition. And then, when we talk about revelation, yes, in certain religious traditions, God may be revealed in particular ways. He may be revealed in other ways in different traditions. So we need to have that inclusiveness. There's a famous quote of Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he says that if we go to a place of worship of some other religious tradition and we see God being worshipped over there, he says, what should be our response? He says, we should stay there in a mood of reverence. Contemplating that, Here, the God whom I worship is manifest in a form different from what I know. So I can't appreciate this form. But still, thinking that my God, the God whom I worship, is so merciful that in order to attract people of a different disposition, He has manifested in a different way. Thinking about how magnanimous my Lord is, my devotion to Him in the form that I know is increasing. So, for example, if we see Muslims doing namaz, we can say, yeah, these people are just, they're religious fanatics. We can think like that. Or we think, you know, they are doing their religious worship so diligently. So let me also do my religious worship diligently. We don't have to, when we are insecure in our own faith, then others' faith threatens us. When I'm insecure, am I worshipping, I'm following the right path? And if somebody else is following that as a mother path and they are following it diligently, we start thinking, maybe I'm wrong. Isn't it? Maybe I should be following their path. But if you understand that it's like climbing up a mountain and there are different ways to climb up the mountain. You see, this person is climbing up the mountain so diligently. Then let me focus on climbing up the mountain by my way diligently. That way, others' faith need not make us insecure. It can actually make us more secure, more determined in following in our own faith. So Vasudev, when we see in terms of definition, is a universal concept, universal definition. In terms of specific depiction, it's specific, but that requires revelation or realization. And for those who don't have that, we can focus on the definition. So in that sense, if we start with the universal aspects, Krishna consciousness is universal. It is for the elevation of human consciousness to the spiritual level. And there is a specific path. But we don't say the specific path is the only path. There are other paths for rising up also. We follow this path and we find this path very effective in transforming ourselves, in raising our consciousness. So we follow it. But our goal is to encourage others to follow that, follow a path for moving closer to God. So Prabhupada, when he would move or talk with Christians, if they were nominal Christians, he would encourage them to start practicing Krishna consciousness. If they were committed Christians, he would encourage them not to give up their faith and practice this. He would encourage them to become more serious in the practice of Christianity. So our goal is not to just convert people horizontally, from this path to that path. If there is any conversion, it is a vertical conversion. We want to help people raise their consciousness upwards, vertically, from material to spiritual. So we have a path and others may have a path also. The point is, are they raising their consciousness? Are we raising our consciousness? If we keep this focus, then we can be committed without being conflicting. We can be committed to our path without being necessarily conflicting with other paths. So I'll summarize what I spoke today. I spoke about how can Krishna consciousness be both be universal when it is so specific. And I discussed about these eight religious forms that are talked about in this verse. And how each of them can be understood specifically and generically. So Veda can refer to the Vedic texts or it can refer to general body of knowledge. The purpose of all of them is to know God. Makaha can refer to specific religious sacrifices, fire sacrifices performed for specific purposes, or it can refer to the principle of sacrifice, which is that we give up something which is for our pleasure for a higher cause. Or similarly, Vasudeva para makaha, Vasudeva para yoga. Connection to something higher. The specific process in the Vedic tradition, but there can be other processes. The point is to connect with the reality beyond the mundane. Vasudeva param kriyaha. Different religious rituals, they have specific purposes. There's an immediate purpose, but there's an ultimate purpose also. I focus elaborately on Vasudeva param jnanam. That we can go into depth of any one small branch of knowledge, some object of knowledge. But if that isolates us from ultimate goal of knowledge is Krishna, it will not bring fulfillment. And then we get caught in lower pleasures. But if we see the connection, then we can pursue any branch of knowledge, harmonizing the immediate goal with the ultimate goal. Tapaha. Similarly, austerity can be specific forms of fasting on the holy days within our tradition, or in principle of fasting, where the holy days may be different for different traditions. Vasudeva parodharmo. That there is aparadharma is material religion where God is used to make our life materially comfortable. Parodharma means God is the ultimate goal. Vasudeva paragatihi. He is the supreme goal. And I talked lastly about how there can be the purpose is common, the process may be different, even opposite. Like traffic rules are opposite, but the purpose of regulation of traffic is common. But however, the purpose is not ingrained in things. Purpose has to be understood by people. Some people may worship God to have welfare for all living beings. Others may worship God to destroy others who do not agree with their faith. So for, in such case, the God of the transcendentalists and the God of the terrorists is not the same. Their God is simply a projection of the human ego. So we need to understand the purpose and pursue this purpose. And if people find the particular depiction of God as sectarian, then we go from the depiction to the definition. As Krishna might, the form of God might seem sectarian, but we look at the definition, the all attractive, with six opulences, that is universal. And thus, you can see how Krishna Bhakti is specific in terms of offering us a particular path to climb up the mountain, but it is also universal, because it talks about universal principles and universal purposes that can be achieved through different purposes, different particular practices. So we can be, by understanding the specificity and universality, we can be both committed to our path, at the same time we can be appreciative of other paths. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yeah.